We still love you. Well, good to see all of you folks here today. We come together to give thanks and praise to a great God. We will use 23 for a closing song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Prayer means so much to the saints of God. In Acts chapter 4, which we're going to use to consider a praying church, God's design for His people is to pray to Him, to ask. And in Acts 4, the setting for this, starting in verse 23, the apostles healed a man who was lame 40 years. And then that brought such a commotion, brought people together. They preached, men converted. They were preaching in the name of Christ. Sanhedrin Council opposed that preaching. And so they brought the apostles together and they commanded them not to teach or preach at all in the name of Jesus. Of course, the apostles, they're not going to pay any attention to that. Verse 18 says, "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard.'" And so from there, where are they going to go? Well, they're going to go to a prayer meeting. They want to be with the saints of God. I love that, don't you? I just love Wednesday night prayer meeting. When Wednesday night comes, there's just one place I'm going to be and one place you want to be if you love the Lord. And you know where that is? Prayer meeting. Do we need powerful prayer meetings? Amen. You know what happens, though? The saints of God go to prayer meeting, and they go to prayer meeting and prayer meeting year after year, decade after decade, and they think the prayer meeting has lost its meaning. It hasn't. No. Notice who they're going to pray to. Who do you pray to when you pray? You're praying to the Creator of this universe. So we prayed this morning. I looked out at the creation, the mountains. That's the glory and the power of God. That's who we're praying to. The one that commanded the mountains into existence. That's the one you and I are coming before and asking Him for help or for intercessory prayer for others. And so in verse 23, they're going to come together. "And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them." You know, when the robber, when they came out to take Jesus with the swords and the clubs, what did the apostles do? They all fled, didn't they? Sanhedrin Council is going to warn them, probably in hopes that they'll flee. They didn't flee this time. Why? They have the Spirit of God in them. And so, they're coming to their companions, verse 24, "And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, 'O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them.'" You believe that God made everything down here? We're a creation of God. We're made in His image. That's a wonderful image. You know how long people are going to be in the flesh? About 6,000, maybe a little over 6,000 years. Do you realize we are a unique part of God's creation to be in the flesh? There's only going to be a few thousand years of human beings in the flesh. When that's over, as I understand the Bible, there will never, ever be a fleshly human being ever again. That's it. It's over. Well, you and I are in the flesh. Are we weak? Do we need the help of God? Should we beseech God on behalf of others? Well, how important is the prayer meeting? Mighty important. Never forsake it. Verse 25, "Who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, 'Why did the Gentiles rage, and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.'" Who were these people? Well, it was Rome, it was Herod, it was Pilate. And it was the Gentiles and the Jews all gathered together to crucify him. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together. Now, did they split or did they gather? They gathered, didn't they? Is the church always a coming together? Never a division, but a gathering of God's people. Gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That means freely, openly, without fear. And so they came together to pray to the Creator of the universe. Psalms 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the name of the Lord will be praised. Are you one of the individuals that likes to praise the name of God in prayer? Amen. When they were going, or when Jesus came in to Jerusalem, and the Jews told him to tell his disciples to be quiet, what was his response? If I am quiet, the rocks, the stones will cry out. Inanimate nature is going to praise him. How much more so we as human beings should praise him in prayer, lifting our voices up to him. In Acts chapter 6, the feeding of the poor widows. And the 12 have been doing this. Verse 2 says, and the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. What's the first duty of the apostles? To feed the poor widows or to pray and preach the Word of God? The world today has got things mixed up. Now, they didn't neglect the widows, did they? Now, they saw too that was taken care of, but what was their work? The physical or the spiritual? That's the way it better be today too, amen? You preachers better be praying, and you preachers better be to the ministry of the Word. Not a bunch of funny business out here. I'm telling you, the power of prayer builds churches, along with the ministry of the Word. Neither one can be neglected. Must have both. And so we have a praying church, and the apostles are going to set the course for God's people. So we're going to consider two things about a praying church. One, powerful prayer meetings, and two, intercessory prayer. And I believe in both of them. Yes. To understand that we need powerful prayer meetings, we need to understand the church. What did Christ come to build? The church. On this rock I'm going to build my church. In Acts 20:28, the Bible tells us that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. We are a blood-bought people. When I look out, you know what I see? I see the blood of Jesus covering you. Without that blood, you are going to die and go to hell forever. There's no hope without him. And in Hebrews 12, we are the unshakable kingdom. When the Lord returns, you know what's going to happen to every physical thing down here? It is going to get shaken to the point that it will never exist ever again. You and I are going out into eternity, saved forever. And I just want to tell you, I can't wait for the day. We eagerly await the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, it just pounds in my heart. I can't wait to get there to see the one that dwells in light unapproachable. But no man has seen or can see. To him belongs the glory and the dominion and the power forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Well, we ought to love the Lord. You people love the Lord? Do you tell him you love him? Daily. If you don't, do it. If any man doesn't love the Lord, he is anathema. Maranatha, let the Lord come. Importance of the church, oh my. It is so magnificent and so powerful. It's the salvation of our souls. That's what it is. Ephesians 2:6. We've been raised up and seated with him. Where are we seated? In the church. I count that the greatest and the highest honor that God can bestow upon me as a human being. There's none higher. In Ephesians 1:3, we have every spiritual blessing in the church. Prayer is one of those spiritual blessings. Salvation, the Lord's Supper, the preaching, the fellowship of the saints of God. All of these spiritual blessings to fight the spiritual warfare. This is not a physical battle. It's spiritual. And spiritual men of God love to pray. It isn't a pastime thing for you. It's something that's buried deep within you. No other man understands or knows except you. And how important that is to be on your hands and knees to the Creator of the universe in prayer. Acts, that is the establishment of the church. He sent the 12 out to build the church. That's what they did. The cost of their life. Romans to Revelation, written to the church or men, leadership in the church to set the church in order. We're the very body of Christ, that which comes together. Is it always a coming together of the church? Absolutely. Acts 20, verse 7, they gather together. 1 Corinthians 11, when you come together as a church. Hebrews 10. 25, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Which one can you skip? Better not skip any of them. Now we got one, two, how many didn't make it? They're going to take a nap. Well, don't skip the assembly. It is always a coming together. Is there power in unity? Is there power in our fellowship coming together right here? Do you feel and sense the power? Physical or spiritual? It's spiritual power designed by Almighty God that we come together for the purpose of prayer. Do we need one another? Oh, do we need one another? We live in a decadent society. It is a decadent, ungodly, wicked, filthy, dirty, smutty society. I just want to tell you something. You got any rotten videos in your home, get rid of them. Seen that trash? It's disgusting. And then they say they're going to come to God in prayer. I don't believe it. You're not praying to the same God I'm praying to. You're praying to the God of Baal. That's who you're praying to. What's an army that isn't united? Can you imagine an army going out and fighting a battle and all divided, split up? We're going to lose. United we stand, divided we fall. That's why God said, I want the church to come together for the purpose of prayer. Now we know there's more than just prayer, but that's my subject. So we're going to talk about prayer. Yeah. And there's power in prayer. Power in the prayer meeting. In the book of James, chapter 5. Verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Verse 17, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours." Was Elijah just like you and me, subject to all the frailties of the flesh, all of the stresses and problems and difficulties of life? Now, he even fled once, didn't he? When old Jezebel, she was after him. Did he experience fear? I suppose you never have. Well, anyway, he was just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, and Ahab was just as delighted as he could be. "You troubler of Israel!" I'll tell you something. If you want to be a man of God, you're going to get in trouble. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. For Elijah, in this particular setting, what did it accomplish for him? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. What are we trying to accomplish in the prayer meeting? Salvation of the souls of men and women. How many of you were convicted last night on the sermon? Salvation of souls of men. I'll just tell you, we come and listen to the preaching, but boy, I want to tell you, when we go home, we get cold feet. Yeah. I'll tell you, when you start to knock on doors and start to talk on people, the zipper goes, and it's hard to get open. We are trying to accomplish the salvation of the souls of men, and you will not do it physically. Must be done spiritually, on your hands and your knees, pleading with God for other people. Now, Moses, a great man, I'll consider that later in our intercessory prayer. My, what a man of prayer he was. And to see what God did when Moses prayed to him absolutely is beyond human comprehension. And so a praying church then is a church that's going to come together. The church is the very glory and the very power of Almighty God on this earth. We are the body of Christ, to be a united force coming together for God. And when the church meets, it better be a united force, and all the saints of God ought to be there, present for the prayer meeting, to pour their hearts out to God. You know, men think they're smarter and wiser than God, and they think they can split the prayer meeting. We got men today that want to have their cell groups. Nonsense! Not me. It'll never happen in North Platte, Nebraska. Never. When I read the Bible, it's a coming together of God's people. You start splitting the prayer meeting and you're going to weaken the saints of God. I've seen it happen. And the prayer meeting will lose its power and its meaning. It'll become meaningless. And they'll have their little groups and they'll have people out here to say, "Now, what do you think?" Listen, I went to church for 29 years. What do you think? I'm through with "what do you thinks." Because I don't think very well. I need somebody to tell me what the Bible means. You know where I learned to pray? In church. Apostles said, "Teach us to pray." Listen, I had to be taught to pray. I'm a weak, frail human being. When it comes to spiritual things, I'm a knothead. Well, we're all like a bunch of dumb sheep. That's what Jesus said. Now, don't think you got everything figured out, because I know I don't. So men think the prayer meeting doesn't have any power in it, so they split it. I don't know why people want to change God's plan. I don't understand it. I absolutely do not understand it. When they can read in the Bible, we always gather. Together. Don't you divide this church. Listen, I have a hard enough time keeping the church together and from flying apart, letting alone saying, let's split on Wednesday night. How important is prayer meeting on Wednesday night? It's the salvation of the souls of men. It was my salvation. You know where I went on a Wednesday night? First time I'd ever been to the Church of Christ, it was on a Wednesday night. I loved every minute of it. And I listened to the message. I can tell you the message. Maybe I've told it here before. We get older, we tell the same stories over and over and over. I told the folk in North Platte, you have to hear the same stories over and over and over. And I went there and I heard the message. I'll make you fishers of men. I shall never forget it. And you know what put the icing on the cake? Here's the cake, the message. I mean, that's the meat power, isn't it? Coming together. But then, you know what they did? Something that I had never seen in my life before. I saw men coming together. And we went into a little room, because it was a little church building. There was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, 8 men. I don't remember. And you know what we did? We got down on our hands and knees and we prayed to Almighty God. And I even prayed. And I want to tell you, that made such an impression on me. I just thanked the God of heaven that I saw men praying to God. Is there power in prayer? Even to a heathen that doesn't really understand much spiritually. Well, that's what I was. And I saw those men praying. I said, God, that's what I want. Well, if we got the right heart, does the inner man understand what it wants? Well, sure it does. And they, after the prayer meeting, they said, well, you want to study the Bible? What do you think I said? Yeah, I want to study. Well, poor old Merlin's been trying to get a Bible study with me for 6 months, and I kept giving him excuses. You know how heathens are. Yeah. I kept giving him excuses. And he said, we're going to have a Bible study tonight at my house. And you want to come? I said, sure. And I didn't show. And he'd come over and try to get me to go to the prayer meeting. And I didn't go. And finally, one night, I said, yeah, I'm going. I hit bottom. Is there power in coming together? If you don't understand spiritual things, you don't understand the power of coming together. When I see the saints of God in North Platte coming together, and I see visitors coming in, you know what I know it's going to do for those visitors? It's going to encourage them. To see that people come together. Is it an encouragement to come here to see people coming together for spiritual things? Yes. And it's a discouragement if they do not come. It's either to encourage or it's to discourage. I know from coming in from a world of sin on Wednesday night, men and women need to come together. Got a man that was just converted, he and his wife, and he counted the number of times at work, how many numbers of times he heard them cuss in one day. I forget the exact numbers. The round number was around 180. Any of you go to work and experience that? The filthy, dirty language, it just bombards you day in and day out and day in and day out. The dirt, the smut, the filth. Do you need to come? Yes. Yes, you do. Because if you don't come, it'll wear away on you and it'll whip you. You need to come. I just love the power of praying to the Creator of the universe because He has all authority in heaven and on earth. I believe that. When you go to God in prayer, you are praying to the one that can move everything down here. And it's going to go the direction that He commands it. And so we need men and women coming together for powerful prayer meetings and not dividing the church, but that it is a oneness. It is unified. And it is together. Number two, a praying church will intercede for others. Colossians chapter 4. And verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. Oh, Epaphras was a man of prayer, labored for others. Have you ever taken the church prayer list, if you have one, and prayed for everybody on the list? I'll guarantee you, you won't do it in 5 minutes. Unless you just rattle a name off and say, well, Lord, I pray for these people in Jesus' name, and that's it. Well, that means you really get down on your hands and knees and you pray for them and beseech God to bless them and to fill them with power in the inner man. Did Paul not bow the knee so that the church could be filled with power in the inner man through the Holy Spirit? It's God's plan when you and I come together to pray for one another. In John 17, Christ's last prayer, he's going to pray for his apostles. Difficult times are going to come on them. And in John 17, verse 9 says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world. He's not going to pray for the world the same as he prays for his apostles. But of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Christ is going to be glorified in his apostles because they're going to preach the message, the crucified Christ. Is Christ glorified in the church? Yes, he is. If you'll notice also in verse 20, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as the Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. You know who Christ prayed for there? He's praying for you and me. That's what he's praying for. Do you pray for other people? Is it a joy to see the saints of God having problems? Well, that's not a joy, but I'm talking about coming before the throne of grace and praying for them, naming them specifically and seeing the specific problems they are encountering. We as humans have problems down here. The Bible, I mean, there's so many places about intercessory prayer. Let's just take Ephesians 1. I can't read all of them, but we'll just catch a few of them here. Paul even prayed asked that men would pray for him. And Ephesians 1:15 says, for this reason I too have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And then Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. It goes on and on and on. The intercessory prayer of men of God praying for other people. You have troubles. Do you want people to pray for you? I've had men tell me they were praying for me. Well, I like to hear that. And I know then that God is going to intervene on my behalf. Moses, was he a great man of God? Oh my. You know what God was going to do to the children of Israel when they'd been dancing around that calf? Yeah. Moses on the mountain. Yeah. What was God going to do? I'm going to destroy the whole lot of them, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you, Moses. What did Moses do? He interceded on their behalf, and he prayed to the God of heaven, and you know what the God of heaven made a decision not to do based on the prayer that Moses prayed? He did not destroy them. And then he went back up on the mountain, and Moses was willing to become an atonement That's what it says. Let's just take a look. He's going to be an atonement for those people. I marvel at this man. Exodus 32. Verse 30 says, "And it came about on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from thy book which thou hast written.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book.'" God will accept no other atonement than Jesus Christ. That's it. So Moses could not make that atonement, but he was willing. You see why God said through Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15, that God was going to raise up a prayer and make a decision not to destroy the children of Israel. How much more so will God hear your prayer today if you will but take the time? That's what it takes, time. You're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to spend time in prayer or whether you're going to spend time in the things of this world. Is it important to make the right decision to spend time in prayer? I prayed before I was a Christian. And I prayed. I poured my heart out too. But I still had to be taught to pray, because it wasn't an everyday occasion that I prayed to him. So Moses lifted up his voice to God, and God heard his prayer and relented on what he was going to bring upon the children of Israel. Is there power in prayer? I'll say there is. We need to be a praying church. I pray that where you go to church, you back the prayer meeting and realize when you come together, there's power in the unity of coming together. You're offering your voice up to the Creator of the universe, who has authority over everything down here. And if it doesn't go the way you prayed, then He knows best. He knows a whole lot better than you do. He knows what's going on. And never ever give up. Amen? You just keep praying and praying and praying and praying and pouring your heart out to God. When you come to Him in prayer, as you grow in Christ, you get over your 5, 10, 15 minute prayers. And you get into some time where you spend with God on your hands and knees. Well, people get used to a 5 or 10 minute prayer and think they've really done something. I'd be ashamed of myself. I would. Well, there's times I pray 5 minutes. Don't miss me. Don't understand me. But I can just tell you that Christians ought to be praying more than that, far more than that every day. So we're going to sing page 23. Oh, well, maybe we won't sing page 23. I don't know. Listen. Oh, she's coming around. Oh, I thought maybe she had to leave. Okay, well, Alyssa's going to play Sweet Hour of Prayer. And JB didn't know that's what I was going to use for my closing song. But thanks, JB. I thought, boy, God's in this, because JB's going to have them sing it. And we're going to sing it in closing out. And I hope you learn to spend an hour of time in prayer with God. And it'll give you a sweetheart besides. And you'll understand God's power. As we stand and as we sing page 23, if you need to make some decisions, then you make those decisions before Almighty God.